Hi, I'm Katie.
And I'm Coley. Welcome to the
Welcome.
SVU Coven podcast, Little Witch Detectives.
Hi.
Hi.
What's up?
Not much.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm better than yesterday.
I feel that. One day at a time.
Yeah.
Oh, we are back with another interesting episode.
Yes, we are back.
Should we just jump into things then?
Yeah.
Okay. Apologies if I sound a little nasally. My allergies are so bad. I don't know what is going on, but in Georgia right now, it's just like ridiculous. But anyway, this is our witch talk. It's the corner of the intro of our show where we catch you guys up on what we've been doing. It's a little redundant because we do talk to each other all the time, so we do kind of know, but we like to share it with you guys. So I'm flying to Minnesota tonight
Yay!
because I'm meeting my boyfriend's family finally. I know I've mentioned it a few times, but it's happening today. So that's what's on my mind and going on with me at the moment. Oh, I also just accepted a volunteer position at one of my favorite concert venues in town, where I basically go around and hang up flyers everywhere, and then I get free concerts for per 10 flyers, which isn't bad at all to me. So I'm super excited to start doing that too because free concerts. If you guys didn't know, I like concert in my day. So super excited about that. Other than that, just kind of getting my life together. I finally put a debt plan together to start paying off my credit card debt and my student loans. So I'm excited about that. But otherwise, just living life. I don't have a lot going on
Yeah.
apart from that. Yeah. What about you?
Lollapalooza officially starts 2 weeks from today that we're recording this. I got stood up on Monday.
Are we talking about it or you want to just leave it at that?
We'll just leave it at
Okay.
that. Not much else is going on.
Yeah. Lollapalooza is going to be so fun.
It really is. I'm
Yeah.
excited.
I
It's
think they
gonna be
can.
nice and cool, and it's not gonna be ridiculously hot, which is nice, which is what I mean by nice and cool.
Yeah. That's because I feel like
Yeah.
it's been so hot.
We get food trucks this year, which is exciting.
I love a food truck.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited to see all the pictures and stuff. You'll have to send me pictures of your outfits.
Yes.
Fun. All right. Well, shall we move along then?
Yes.
Okay.
To our Marishka corner. Not too much is going on with Marishka. A lot of the stories that I'm seeing are older. A lot of it was about the US Open, but that's over now.
In
She went to Brooke Shields' one woman show at Cafe Carlyle with Allie Wentworth. The show is called Previously Owned by Brooke Shields.
I love that.
Yeah.
We love Brooke. She's the best.
Yeah.
I love Mariska's little like girl group she's got.
Yes.
It's very cute. I realized I didn't put it anywhere in the notes because it just came out yesterday. But I figure this would be a good place to also say Kelly Giddish had her baby.
Yes.
So cute. Oh my goodness. And
His
he has the
name is Oldie.
I know. It's so
I
cute.
love his name.
It's such an adorable little like little man name.
Yeah.
Like it just fits and they look so happy. Crazy to me. She had, it sounds like she had a healthy delivery and everything.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah.
Well, is that all for Mariska updates?
Yeah. There wasn't a whole lot.
She's not doing much. All right. Well, in the vein of updates, I thought we would just update you guys on the previous two cases that we've talked about in our last episodes. One of which being Colleen, which is kind of funny because I currently have up on my TV behind the computer, I'm watching Joshua David Evans' interview with Swoop. I'm almost finished with it. It's almost 4 hours long.
Yeah. So
it's taken me a while to get through it, but if you didn't know, Joshua is Colleen's ex-husband, and he has done a lot of inexcusable things.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not trying to excuse any of that, but it's the most recent update to the Colleen situation. He basically has come forward to talk about his experience with her, which in my opinion, she was being very abusive of him,
mm-hmm.
and manipulative and gaslighting him a lot. And something I like about it, I don't know if you've watched any of the interview yet, but Swoop holds him very accountable for things, but he also is very apologetic and self-aware of some of the stuff that he had done when he was with Colleen and on YouTube in those earlier days.
Mm-hmm.
So I do appreciate that. And I think Swoop was right to give him a platform to speak, because he kind of is filling in all the holes of behind the scenes stuff with Colleen from a perspective of a person who is very close to her. And he talks about her cheating on him, the lies that she had told about him, the group chats with the kids where she had talked about him, and all of that stuff. So I'm interested to see where this is going to go, because it very much feels like Colleen's worst fear coming to life, because after they got divorced, she basically was like, we're not talking about this. And she silenced him for a long time. So I think it's important in the conversation of male survivors.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see throughout the interview that Joshua has a hard time talking about it, like talking about him being a victim and being a survivor, because he feels like as a man, he can't identify with that. And I think that's the bigger conversation here. And Swoop does a great job of being like, no, like your experience is valid. This is something you went through and, you know, all that
yeah.
stuff. And so while I don't support or condone some of the things he did when he was younger,
mm-hmm.
I do recommend going to Swoop's channel and watching all of her documentaries about Colleen for sure. But this one, it's a very powerful interview. It feels very Diane Sawyer in nature. Like just, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like very intense, very sit down, very raw and real. And also they filmed it in July, I believe. So
there's
also been a lot of time in between.
Yeah.
So definitely go check it out. Adam McIntyre is backing it as well. He's supportive of Swoop, but also him and Joshua have been having like cute little interactions on Twitter. So, and you guys know we're Team Adam. So,
yes.
yeah, I think it was really well done and interesting. And that's really the main Colleen update, I think, right now, because also Joshua touches on Johnny and all of that in this interview. So I think that's the only thing that's come out, because Colleen hasn't done much. Other commentary, Trisha Paytas had Tana Mojo on her podcast, and they talked about Colleen in depth. And also Jojo Siwa was on Howie Mandel's podcast, defending Colleen. And Trisha has also come out, and Adam as well has come out to talk about Jojo Siwa, and that Jojo Siwa's defense of Colleen not befriending children, she immediately says, oh, well, I became friends with her when I was 12.
Yeah.
So I am not a huge Jojo Siwa person, and I never have been, but I think that will be interesting, because if you go to her comments on any of her social media, people are just like eviscerating her for this.
Yeah.
So I think that will be interesting to see and watch develop as well. Because Jojo is also a survivor, in my opinion. So
it's interesting because Jojo was on a Joey Graceffa video a couple weeks ago, where he did that whole, like, you see the shoes, then you see, like, the bottom of the outfit, then you see the top of the outfit, and you have to pick a date that way with her.
Yeah.
And she was saying that she never really viewed herself as a child, because she was working from the time she was, like, 8.
Yeah.
And so it kind of makes sense for her to say, you know, yes, I've been friends with Colleen since she was 12, or since I was 12, but she doesn't make friends with kids.
Yeah.
Because she didn't view herself as a kid.
Yeah. And that, it's so multi-layered, because that's pretty common with child stars. And that's really what JoJo is. She just kind of was in this new wave of child star.
Yeah.
You see it with Miley. That's what Used to Be Young is all about. Like, it, you know. But on the other hand, like, I can see why JoJo wouldn't view herself as a victim or a survivor, because it makes sense due to her career and the nature of her relationships growing up. But it also sucks that she feels that way, because she really got cheated out of a genuine childhood. So I'm not mad at JoJo, because I understand where she's coming from, but I am interested to see where she goes in the future with it. Because I imagine she's probably going to come out with some sort of statement.
Yeah.
Something, you know, because it's just the hate she's getting is crazy.
Yeah.
And I feel for her, especially because this blew my mind, but her and Adam are exactly the same age. They're like a few months apart. And I can't remember how old Adam was when he and Colleen started their friendship, but it was similar.
Wasn't he like 13?
Yeah, something 13, 14 maybe.
Yeah.
So it was similar in timeline of it all happening. Mm-hmm. And in Adam's video about JoJo, he talks about this a lot, because he feels like he can relate to her and talk to her, like, straightforward about it. But he has a much different perception on the whole thing.
Yeah.
But I think that is all the Colleen updates. Go watch Swoop's videos, Adam's videos, Trisha Paytas. They all do a great job talking about all of it. So,
yeah.
Woohoo.
So now I'm going to update you on the whole Jody Ruby situation. Not too many updates. I did watch Jordan and McKay's 8 Passengers live, or updates live stream that they did on Tuesday. I watched parts of it. I didn't watch the whole thing because I was trying to go to sleep, but I couldn't. So, Ruby, while she was in court, claimed that the child who climbed out of Jody's window to go seek help, that they essayed other children And that's why they can't be around other children. Which is just kind of, I don't know. I don't know if I believe Ruby on that one.
Right, and it seems like she's trying to shift blame.
Yeah.
Onto a child.
Yeah.
And it's not that children can't do that. I mean, we talk about SVU all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it, that's what it seems like.
Yeah. I mean, I had a conversation with my therapist a few weeks ago, and she was saying that the median age at which perpetrators begin offending is 9. So it's very, very young.
Yeah.
So it's possible, but I don't necessarily think I believe Ruby in this case.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how that develops.
Yeah.
Because it very much feels like a blame shift rather than actual.
It seems fishy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And Jody wrote a book in 2019 called You Are Not Enough, which is confusing for me to say because it's a double negative and I hate double negatives.
My brain was like, you are not enough. I didn't, she just named it You Are Enough.
It would have been easier.
That's funny.
But she talks a little bit about her own story in the book, and she was abused from the ages of 2 to 5 and then 7 to 9 by 2 different older male offenders. And we had this conversation on the Jordan and McKay Live of, you know, a person can be essayed or abused or victimized in some way and still turn out to be a horrible person. And it's important to hold space for both of them. Because the whole trope of, well, perpetrators who are abused themselves don't happen all the time, but they do happen. It does happen, and it's not just an excuse. Well, it's not an excuse. It explains some of it, but it doesn't excuse it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And a minor correction from the Jody Ruby podcast. I was saying whitewashed. What I really meant to say was watered down.
Ah.
I couldn't think of the words watered down.
It wouldn't be our podcast if we didn't talk correctly. I don't know.
Yeah. That's why we have a shirt that says words are hard.
Mm-hmm. is that, oh, the Kevin stuff.
Oh, yes, the Kevin stuff. So he had his lawyer had an interview with someone. And his lawyer was saying how the whole reason he was MIA from the kids' lives was because he was trying to save his marriage to Ruby. And Ruby told him, in order to save the marriage, you have to leave and have no contact with the kids. And he didn't think that they were in danger of being abused. So.
Yeah, it's fishy to me. But so is everything.
Yeah.
Because part of me is like, he's also kind of a survivor of her abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other part of me is like, why didn't he do anything? But he could also be telling the truth and felt like it was the best thing for the for his kids.
Yeah.
So interested to see that play out as well. And if
yeah.
he said anything more, but we finally heard from Kevin, I guess.
Yes. Jody and Ruby are currently still being held without bail until at least the 21st, which is their next court hearing. Apparently Jody had a life-threatening medical condition while she was in jail and had to be rushed to the hospital.
What was it?
They didn't say, they just said it was a life-threatening medical condition. So she was in the hospital for 2 days, and her lawyer, which she finally attained, is currently working to try to get her custody status changed because of said medical condition.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
I guess we'll see.
Yes.
Feels like an episode of Orange is the New Black.
It really does.
Wonderful program.
Yes. Moving right along. Thank you all for 3,000 listens to our podcast and over 300 views on our Ruby and Jody YouTube video.
It's our most viewed video, I believe.
It's our most viewed video. I just checked right before we started recording. There's 366 views on it. And we have 18 hours of total watch time on YouTube. We need 3,000 to start monetizing.
We are on the way.
We are on the way.
I felt like we should include it in the notes just because we're pivoting content with the strikes and everything. And it's cool to see that people are still interested in what we have to say.
Yeah.
And starting YouTube was a big deal for us this season. So just thank you for everything.
Yes, definitely.
But I also just wanted to say this is not what our channel and podcast is turning into necessarily, because we obviously still want to talk about SBU when we're able to and do our coven stuff. But if you guys are really enjoying these episodes, I do think, and Coley and I can talk about what this would look like, but
yeah,
we would like to know that because we could start incorporating more of this into our regularly scheduled programming. Because it's not that we don't enjoy doing these, it's just different than our typical content. So if it's something that you guys like, which it seems to be, please let us know. But thank you.
Yes, really quick before we move into our usual business, I also want to point out to go and watch the VOD of Jordan McKay's latest live. Jordan put a lot of work into the PowerPoint with all the updates from the eight passenger situation. I believe there were 43 slides.
Oh, good Lord.
And she did it. They're
so well researched.
Yeah. and there is a transcript of the interview with Kevin's lawyer that Jordan transcripted herself. Yeah.
Yes, definitely go support them. They do all the heavy lifting.
Yes.
For sure. All right, so social media. Wah. That made me think of that SpongeBob video. Yes, thank you.
Imagination.
Social media. We are on Instagram at SVU Coven. I try to post on there. Coley posts on there. We post our updates, memes, all the good stuff. So if you're on Instagram, feel free to follow us while you're there. If you hit the link in our bio, all things SVU Coven will be there, but also the link to our free Discord server. I would really like to grow the Discord server because I made it all cute and stuff. So it would be great if you guys joined. You don't have to, but it is completely free and it's a good way to connect with us more intimately and one-on-one. However, if social media is not a medium that speaks to you, you can always email us. Coley texts the email so somebody is reading it and will respond to you. It's svucoven@gmail.com. And if you want to be on the show, sponsor the show, have questions for us, or anything like that, email's the best place to reach us.
Yeah. This is your episodic reminder to rate, review, and subscribe and comment. Rating and subscribing are the two most important things. They tell the algorithm that you like us and will then recommend us to other people. Reviewing and commenting are just really nice. We lost all our reviews when we switched podcast hosts and we miss them. And we appreciate the energy exchange. Commenting is wonderful. Katie's always in the comments. So definitely
Come hang out.
join her there. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
There is something weird going on with our comments at the moment. I know our last video has two comments, including one of Katie's. I can't see them.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. If anybody is a YouTube person and knows why that would be happening, but in theory, when you comment, they should show up.
Yes.
I
Yes.
don't know why they didn't this time, but in theory they should, and I will be there hanging out. I usually say something stupid, so but the comments I do believe make a little bit of a difference in the algorithm and stuff,
Yeah, they
so
also push our video in the algorithm, as do likes and all that stuff. Even dislikes help.
we appreciate the energy exchange.
Yes.
Also, we're on coffee.
Yes.
Buy coffee. One of those.
Coffee.
Coffee. Yeah. And the don any donations from that go straight back into the show. Okay.
And we have merch.
Oh, right. I meant to
I
wear it today. It's dirty.
was gonna wear my beanie today, but I forgot.
We need to do that. I think we should do, we can talk about this later, but remember when we first started the podcast, we talked about doing like a drunk episode. I feel like we should do that, but wear all of our merch and our like Dick Wolf stuff.
Yeah.
That'd be so cute. Anyway, we do have merch. It's on Fourth Wall. The proceeds from that go to Fourth Wall as well as to us that go back into the show. Coley and I designed it all ourselves and we're really proud of it. And I personally think I chose to go with Fourth Wall because their quality is super soft and cozy. And they do a great job color matching for the most part and all of that. So we will have links to that everywhere, episode notes, Instagram, all that fun stuff. And we appreciate the energy exchange. And if you take or if you get merch, please take pictures of it and send it to us. It would mean
Yes.
the world. Like I can't even explain how excited we would be. So I think that's everything.
Yes. I think
Okay.
that's everything as well.
All right. So before we get in to the topic of all topics, I have a self-love affirmation for you guys, and the universe did this because I just pulled this off of my bed this morning to wear, but it's my Nirvana hoodie or sweatshirt, and my self-love affirmation is a Kurt Cobain quote that I wrote 2 days ago. So it's like I did not do this on purpose, but it's okay if you think I did. So I have been in my life struggling a lot with my self-worth, because I am currently going through a friendship breakup, and it's been hard on my mental, and I just haven't been feeling good about myself throughout the whole thing. And so something that I've written down in my notebook since I was a kid is this quote that allegedly came from Kurt Cobain. And it gets twisted around a lot just because, you know, it's been 30 years since he said it, but I personally like it a lot. And it's, I'd rather be hated for who I am than loved for who I am not. Essentially, meaning staying true to yourself. And it's okay if people don't like you, because you're not going to be everyone's cup of tea, just like not everyone's going to be your cup of tea. Mm-hmm. And loving yourself throughout that. At least that's my interpretation of it. Little Pisces Kurt Cobain. But if you are not operating heavy machinery, feel free to close your eyes. If you are driving or forklifting or whatever, please leave your eyes open. Remember to breathe, but take 3 deep breaths and give yourself a little hug. And remember that you are not enough.
Yes.
Okay. Before we jump in to this topic, I do want to put a trigger warning here. There's talk of essay, R words, and Scientology throughout this case. And if those are things that are going to be harmful to you, please feel free to click off this episode now, or shoot to the end for Coley's tarot reading. But we have lots of other fun episodes you can go watch or listen to.
Yes.
But today we are talking about Danny Masterson. And I've talked about him a lot on the show. Last episode, I briefly touched on what's going on. But I felt like since we have been doing these episodes, maybe we should talk about it. I wanted to preface it with just a little bit of background on me and why this case is close to my heart. But when I was a kid and I discovered That 70s Show, it became my first comfort show, like my first one. And I used to watch it to fall asleep every night. I had friends in my life where we would talk about it all the time. I was watching it in real time as the episodes were going live. Like I loved it very much. The parents in it reminded me of my grandparents, and also just like generally being a witchy hippie person, the 70s in general are just like very my style. And it was just very close to me. And it was to the point where I had friends in middle school and high school that called me Hyde, which was Danny Masterson's character's name, because he was my favorite and I loved him. And I thought, this is the kind of man that I want, you know, and like, not necessarily Danny, but Stephen Hyde as a character was just very my type, if you know anything about me. So I was very close to that show, and I've seen every episode. I could probably quote them right now, very similarly to how we are with SVU now. But back in the day, it was very close to my heart. When that 90s show came out this year or last year, I was an emotional wreck because I was so happy to see my old favorite characters and how they've grown up and what their lives are like now and all that stuff. And Danny's not in that 90s show. And it's also like one of those things where I followed their careers too. So like Ashton Kutcher and Danny are on a show on Netflix called The Ranch with Sam Elliott, and it's really good. Danny ended up getting fired from it when all of the news came out, and they kept going, and the new seasons are good as well. I love Sam Elliott. Like, it was just, I followed everything these people do. Like Orange is the New Black with Laura, and Topher's in a new show called Home Economics, which is so funny. And Mila Kunis is, you know, doing so much stuff. Like, they've all had incredibly successful careers. So it just sucks. It just sucks. And I'll get into it more, but it's kind of like all of them suck right now, except for Laura and Topher. But yeah, I just wanted to preface it with, like, it's very special to me, this show, and I have not been able to watch it since I heard the news. I watched that 90s show because Danny wasn't in it, but I haven't gone back to rewatch that 70s show in years because of all of this. So I am a little emotionally invested. But if you guys didn't know, Danny Masterson played Stephen Hyde on that 70s show. It originally aired in 1998, but it was around 2000 and thereafter when these things started happening. Specifically, I think it was 2001 to 2003. He and his family are Scientologists and super involved in that community. His brother was on Malcolm in the Middle, very famous show. And I don't know what else he's done since then, but lots of actors in their family as well. And they're all Scientologists, I do believe, allegedly, not 100% sure, but raised in that environment. A lot of people speculate that Danny has used his connections with Scientology to avoid being accountable. And it's part of why it's taken so long for these cases to come to light and come forward. And I don't entirely disagree with that. So essentially, three different women have accused Danny Masterson of R-wording them from 2001 to 2003, which was the height of his fame because that 70s show was doing really well at the time. These cases, according to the survivors, happened inside Danny Masterson's own home. He would drug them after inviting them over, essentially. At the time, every single one of these survivors were also a part of Scientology. So take that how you will. One of the survivors was offered $40,000 and told that if she testified against Danny Masterson, she would lose her Scientology membership. Similarly, one of the survivors' mothers threatened to end their relationship if she came forward because it was going against Scientology. All of this I sourced from BBC. So if you guys want to read more about it, we can include those links in there. But this is part of the testimony of the survivors. As of now, it's been about 3 years that the investigation has been going. During that time, that was when Danny Masterson was fired from Netflix. So he left the ranch and they continued filming. Essentially where we are right now, Danny has been sentenced to 30 years to life in prison for two out of the three survivors' testimonies. The third case was deemed a mistrial and will not be tried again. I think that sucks, but I'm also glad that there's actual justice here. Mm-hmm. You don't often see famous white men in these cases actually getting the full 30 years to life. And he got it for two out of the three cases. So it's still a win to me. But I do feel for the survivor that had to go through the mistrial and everything.
Yeah.
That does suck. Something I think is very interesting, Leah Remini was in attendance for the trial. And if you guys know who she is, she was on King of Queens. She's very funny, comedian, actress, but she's very mostly well known these days for speaking out against Scientology. And she has a great documentary about it if you're interested in that. But it is interesting to me that she showed up, made an appearance, and I think it speaks volumes about it, just her even being there in attendance. Every single one of the survivors had a chance to talk during the hearing and give their statements and their point of view, and in contrast, Danny remained silent through the whole thing. He never spoke. I liked this one quote from, I believe, one of the survivors, and it was, "I forgive you, your sickness is no longer mine to bear," said to Danny. I just think that's incredibly powerful. So stand with them, incredibly sympathetic for them. And I'm glad that he's facing life in prison.
Yeah.
It's like so rare in cases like this. So it's awesome to see. Before
Something
we get
else that's interesting is that Danny did drug the survivors, and drugs and alcohol are very frowned upon in Scientology because they warp the mind, or they don't make you as clear as you should be. Yeah. And for someone who's so into Scientology, I mean, you can't be kind of a Scientologist. You can, you know, it's, you're in or you're out.
Right.
But for someone who's really invested in Scientology, I think that's really interesting.
It is. And I think also, I've read on Twitter, so this is all alleged, which is why I didn't include it, but several people have come out and said, during this time period, the cast of That 70s Show, because they were young and on the up and up and they were very famous and in the public eye, that they were always, like, as a unit, going out and partying in LA and just very involved in that scene. And I do believe Danny was included in that. So I think there was, like, also some celebrity influence with those things.
Yeah.
And I can't speak, you know, it's all alleged, so I don't know for sure, in a video game, in Minecraft, however you take with what you will. But I've seen several Twitter threads on that of people talking about how they were there during that time and would see the cast out doing those things. And that's fine. They were all of age, I believe. Yeah. Maybe not Mila, but
I was going to say everyone except Mila.
Yeah. And I'm going to get into her in a second. But I thought for now we could take a break, and Coley's going to do our little spell break of the day.
Yes. So this is coming out September 18th. Color of the day is silver, and the incense of the day is clary sage. And this is Moon Tarot Mysteries Revealed. Thought this was pretty interesting. In the major arcana of the tarot, the 18th card is the moon. This card signifies mysteries, hidden meanings, secrets, and sometimes even deceptions. It's a great card to focus on when you're trying to figure out a mystery in your life. Take the moon card from your favorite tarot deck and place it on the center of your altar. Position yourself so you can look at the card comfortably for an extended period. As you look at the card, think about the situation you are experiencing that might not be what it seems, or that you feel has some mystery behind it. Close your eyes and feel the energy of the moon card radiate out toward you. When the energy hits you, ask for the mystery you've been thinking of to be revealed. You should then see the answer in your mind's eye. And that is by Amanda Lynn and Jason Mankey.
I love that. The moon card is so special. I think, to me personally, because I'm a Cancer moon, and then the moon in tarot is the Pisces card, so it like hits all of it. But then also for you being a Cancer too, the moon is such a powerful card to pull.
Yeah.
So I really like that for like clarity and expansion.
Yeah.
Cute. Okay. So I feel like we can't talk about this case without talking about the Kutchers. It is no secret that Mila was casted when she was underage, and partially I do believe she lied and said that she was 18.
Yeah.
But she was 14.
Yeah.
And child actor, like, you're obviously, like, she was playing a teenager. She was a teenager. There's going to be kissing scenes, et cetera, et cetera. She became of age while filming the show. So, like, acting aside, that all seems realm of reason. I've read a couple Twitter threads that allegedly say that there was some shady stuff going on towards Mila from Danny, but that's not proven and it's all alleged. And I am not sure Mila's processed everything that has happened to her. But, you know, she is married to Ashton Kutcher. He was technically her first kiss because they filmed a scene together when she, you know, was a kid and he was an adult. It's very Blue Lagoon coded. Not really, but just like, because we've talked about that before.
Yeah.
And they are married now, obviously, consensually. They got together after she was very much an adult. They have kids. They're very happy. I'm not questioning the validity of their marriage. And I just want to make that very clear because it's not necessarily about that. They seem very happy. Leave them be. But the reason we have to talk about them is because they've been in the headlines since the trial's been going on, because Ashton, Mila, and I believe Kurtwood Smith, as well as Deborah Jo Rupp, wrote letters in defense of Danny Masterson that were read in court. And I don't think they were expecting that information to leave the courtroom, from what it seems like.
Yeah.
And they gave a very PR response to it, which I'll talk about in a second. But I also think, due to the nature of this cancel culture we live in, people have started going back into their past and seeing a lot of derogatory comments Ashton Kutcher has made about underage women in the past, about Mila when she was still a kid. You know, it is inexcusable, but I also think worth noting, because we talk about this a lot on the show, but the language and the rhetoric of the early 2000s is very different than what we have now. And we know a lot more now than we did then. And that's not to excuse his behavior, but I do think it was more socially acceptable at the time, which is why he never faced consequences of it.
Yeah.
So we can link this somewhere, but I found this USA Today article and I really liked what they did with it, because they were talking about what happened, but instead of tearing down Ashton and Mila and villainizing them, they redirected the point of the article to say, how do we handle ourselves and what is the best way to go about when someone we love does something like this? And how do we have these conversations about how it not only impacts us, but others? And, you know, not necessarily blaming them for defending their friend, more so being like, hey, we understand. Because when you love someone, it's very hard, you know, to go against them so loudly and to end friendships. And I get that, because they felt like family.
Mm-hmm.
And so if this article is more about how we as a community, how do we handle these situations? And I like it a lot. It's very good. It touches on mental health, friendships, love, all of that, without eviscerating Ashton and Mila, which I think is fair, because I understand that. However, I do think they need to be held accountable, which is why I liked this USA Today one, because they not only hold them accountable, but then they redirect the conversation into how do we take care of ourselves throughout all of this. So I liked that a lot. However, the thing that gets me about them was their stupid, and I sent Coley the video of it as soon as I saw it, but their stupid little like YouTube video PR situation. Because it, you can literally see them looking off away from the camera and reading what they're supposed to be saying, like allegedly. They may not have been, but that's what it looks like. It looks like they're looking at a computer or an iPad or something, and it's telling them what to say, and it feels very disingenuous. So even though they've apologized and they've said that they stand with the victims and all of those things, it felt like it was just because their lawyers told them they had to, and not because it was something they actually believe in. That is my opinion. In a video game, I could be wrong, but that is just what it looked like from the outside, is that they love their friend very much. And I understand that, and I don't fault them for that, but it seems like they are standing with him.
Yeah.
Even though the words they are saying are the opposite.
Yeah. I was watching a podcast on YouTube yesterday called There's a Lot to Unpack Here with Mickey Atkins and her husband. And they were talking about this. And they were talking about the whole them saying that they support victims and that historically they've done that with their work and everything like that. And Mickey said, but that doesn't matter because right now you're choosing to support somebody who essayed three women. Two women that they can, that were convicted. One was a mistrial, but for our sake, three women.
At the very least.
At the very least. You know, and so, like, when it counts, they're not putting their ass behind it.
Yeah.
That's and quite literally what Mickey said. So that's the verbiage I'm using.
Yeah. And I think it has a lot to do with just their love for him. Like, this was someone that was part of their family for 20 years. And I understand that. I really understand that, but it doesn't make it okay.
Yeah.
And also, obviously, Ashton Kutcher has his nonprofit where he helps victims that have been trafficked and things like that. But there's a lot with that nonprofit that is, y'all go research it. 'Cause it's not all like it seems on the surface. And I do agree they've done a lot of work in this space. And I do agree they've helped a lot of people. And I don't think Mila and Ashton are terrible human beings. I think when it mattered, they didn't stand up.
Yeah.
Because it was someone that they love. And I truly understand how difficult that is. But they have this platform they could be using to help, and they're just not. And the only reason that they've come forward about it is because they got caught.
Yeah.
Which is why I was saying earlier, I don't think they expected for the media to learn that they wrote those letters. However, I'm not surprised that they did. You know?
Yeah. Mickey was saying in the podcast about, because she had the same thought of not thinking that Ashton and Mila were thinking that it would get leaked. She was saying that, like, how could they not think that?
I know.
They're celebrities.
People and, like, are if we've learned anything from Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, it's that the way that the world is now, with, like,
yeah,
We just have instant access to all the information.
Yeah. She was like, if I put something on Instagram, I always think, you know, if this got leaked, how is this going to look for me?
Mm-hmm.
So how could somebody as big as Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis not think that?
Yeah, I don't know. But it does seem like they didn't expect it.
Yeah.
Or if they thought it was going to come out, they didn't think that people would be mad about it.
Yeah.
And to me, either way, it just speaks to ignorance.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I'm frustrated with them about the most, because I can understand loving and defending your friend, mm-hmm. even though it's, in my opinion, not the right course of action. But I think it was a little naive of them to think it wouldn't go down like that. And I think Kurtwood and Deborah are getting the pass on this because they're old.
Yeah.
We're not talking about them as much. You know, because I don't know. People don't want to dunk on them because they're old and like have their own opinion. I don't know. That's a separate conversation. It just frustrates me because they are the type of people that are so caring and so loving, and then they turn around and do shit like this.
Yeah.
Like, when it affects you, you're not standing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that it's hard. It's one of the most difficult things they're ever going to have to do. But I don't want to give them a pass just because I think they're good people, you know? Because good people can make bad decisions, and you know, it's so hard because as an empathetic person, I'm like, I get it. If it was someone I love, it would be very hard for me. But on the other hand, like, everything that they say and stand for and the companies they own and everything that they do, it's like not adding up.
Yeah.
And I think also, Mila might have a warped view on it just because she was a child. And I have seen, allegedly on Twitter, some threads here and there, like I was saying before, about Danny's relationship with Mila at that time and how he acted around her. I don't think Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis were dating during the show. I could be wrong, but I believe they started dating after he broke up with Demi Moore.
I think so too. Adults. Yeah.
Like, way into their adult lives.
Yeah.
So I don't particularly agree with a lot of like the, oh, well, Ashton was grooming her the whole time and blah, 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 because I'm not sure that is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think something was going on, you know, because she was 14 and the rest of them were like in their 20s.
Yeah.
So obviously she, similar to like JoJo Siwa, was just a working child. And I think she felt older than she was due to that, because everyone mm-hmm. that was around her was an adult.
Yeah.
So I don't really blame Mila for that. I think it was just the environment and the nature of her career and things like that. But I do think it's worth talking about this age gap of, you know, Ashton met her when she was a child. And Danny met her when she was a child. And so obviously she's going to have a different perception.
Yeah.
On all of this stuff. But I think it's also worth noting Topher Grace and Laura, I can't say Laura.
Pepron. Isn't it Pepron?
I think so. I always read it as Prepon, and I'm like, that's not right. Prepon? I love them. They're great. I don't know if they have made any comments at this time, but as far as I know, they did not write letters and they have stayed silent on this. And if you go back in time and you're a fan of That 70s Show, you know Topher left the show to film Spider-Man. And then he came back for the finale episode, and he also came back for a few episodes in That 90s Show. But he, aside from Laura, he has distanced himself from the cast completely since the early 2000s, which is why you don't see him in The Ranch. It's why he hasn't been on any of their projects. And as a member of the fandom, we all used to hate Topher for this because we were all mad. But now, in hindsight, you can kind of see Topher and Laura might be the only ones that are doing the right thing, in my opinion.
Yeah.
They've completely separated from everybody, and as far as I know, have stayed silent up until now. Which is interesting because on social media, it's making them look like the heroes just because they didn't say anything.
Yeah.
It's like unproblematic, you know? But also, just I haven't talked about him yet, but it is worth noting. Wilmer is not, I don't know if he wrote a letter either. I haven't looked into it, but. He also is not a stranger to dating women much, much younger than him, or humans much, much younger than him. My example coming to mind is Demi Lovato.
I was just going to say, didn't he date Demi Lovato?
Lot
didn't she
older
write
than...
a song about it too? 29?
Oh, for sure. For sure. And they had a pretty amicable breakup from what I remember. It was never like... a terrible situation.
Yeah.
But a lot younger than him and was on the come up, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that's worth noting. It's the same thing with Ashton and Mila. It was very much the culture at the time too, but you know, all of these things in combination kind of make it seem like the cast as a whole was not great. And there's more and more information coming out all the time. But I think that's pretty much where we're at. He's going to prison for 30 years to life. Ashton and Mila are the way that they are. I don't see them saying anything more about it. Just knowing the nature of how Mila is, she's very private. She does not like being on social media. She does not like being the center of attention. And I know that there's a lot of shit coming out. A lot of people are being mean to her through this whole thing. And Ashton as well. So I don't think they're going to say anything more. And if they do, I don't know that it's really going to matter at this point because they've already kind of done what they're going to do. I'm interested to see what's going to happen now because That 90s Show did get renewed for another season.
Mm-hmm.
However, really it's really only Laura, Topher, Kurtwood, and Deborah that do That 90s Show. Mila and Ashton had like a guest appearance. I think Wilmer had a guest appearance. And that was it. The Ranch is also finished, so I don't see them coming back for much. I do think Topher and Laura will, but we'll see. But they seem to be the ones doing the right thing, so all good with that. But I am curious if they're going to cancel the show just due to this media coverage around all of the cast members of the original show.
Yeah.
However, all in all, I think this is a win as far as the justice system goes. We know Olivia would love to see it.
Yes.
30 years to life on 2 out of 3 cases is phenomenal for someone, a white man in this country, number one, backed by Scientology, number two. And I really hope it sticks. I hope he doesn't get out somehow or whatever, because even if he hasn't done this since then, it doesn't mean he didn't do it. So even if he was reformed now, I think he still should serve his time. So I'm really hoping that's the case. It just sucks. And there's so many of these cases coming out like at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, and I am a little afraid of Scientology. So I want to make it clear I am not speaking out against any of that. I'm just reporting the facts. And I wish everyone the best, really. You know, and I'm glad to see that 30 years to life is good. I'm not sure how old he is now, but he's like 40s, I would think.
I don't know.
But that would mean he wouldn't get out till he was in his 70s. So, if that, because if he ends up, and I'm not positive, I should have double checked this, but I'm not positive if it's 30 years to life for both or if it's 30 years to life for each case.
I think it's for both.
Yeah. I wanted to say I feel like it's in the umbrella for both of the cases, but
yeah.
Irregardless, I think it's good all around
that yeah.
Sound like this, and it just sucks. And if you're a fan of the show like I was, I'm sorry. I'm sad about it. And I've been sad about it for a long time. But that 90s show is on Netflix and Danny's not in it. So if you want to get some sort of something, I recommend it. And I think that's everything. Is there anything you wanted to add about it?
Just more stuff that I learned on the podcast with Mickey yesterday.
Yeah.
They were saying that it was interesting that Danny's family asked Ashton and Mila to write letters because they said that Ashton and Mila said that they hadn't been involved with Scientology in like 5 years. And usually once you leave Scientology, you're considered a suppressive person. You're cut off from everybody in Scientology.
Yeah.
So they were saying that it was interesting there. Yeah.
Yeah. It seems as though they asked everyone in the cast, which I find interesting. That's alleged, I'm not positive, but we do know at least 4 of the cast members wrote letters.
Yeah.
So that definitely is interesting, but I also think the way Mila and Ashton are as parents, it makes sense that they have not been involved in Scientology for a long time, even in an adjacent way. But what angers me about that is if they are aware, like they actively are not interested in being Scientologists, why they're still supporting them.
Yeah.
And then also, I, in the same vein, find it interesting that Ashton still supports Danny when he has an entire nonprofit dedicated to helping survivors. People, I guess it goes back to like, it's someone they love.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's such a hard like dichotomy.
Yeah.
Because I get it, but it also doesn't make it okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's hard when it's someone that matters to you. But I think that's everything on where the case is right now.
Yeah.
If you guys are interested, I can send you some articles about it all. And there seems to be new stuff coming out about all these cases every day. So.
Yeah.
I'm sure there will be updates. Because it just never ends. We just need SVU back on air.
We need these strikes to be over.
Yeah, for real.
Like, AMPTP needs to, like, get on their game and give a fair contract to SAG-AFTRA and WGA.
Yeah, for sure.
And STARS need to stop scabbing.
Yep.
Looking at you, Drew Barrymore.
Oh, Drew Barrymore. I have, like, reservations about her just in general, but... Well, I think that's everything. While Chloe is shuffling for our tarot reading, I just want to remind you all that we are on Instagram at SVU Coven. We post there pretty regularly, so if you guys are interested in following us, please head over there. We also have a free Discord server that I would love it if you joined. You can find the link for that in our Instagram bio, or you can shoot us an email for it. Our email is svucoven@gmail.com. Coley does check the email, so somebody reads them and will respond to you. It's also the best place to reach us if you are interested in sponsoring the show, being on the show, talking with us, anything like that. That's the best place to do it. It's svucoven@gmail.com. We also have merch through Fourth Wall. If you get some merch, please take pictures of it and send it to us. It would make our day. And we have a coffee as well. So any donations to that go back into the show, but do not feel obligated in any way. We just appreciate the energy exchange.
Okay. So I don't know if it was technically a jumper. It turned over in the deck, so I pulled it.
Counts. That counts.
It's the Empress.
Ooh, nice.
And the Empress stands for femininity, beauty, nature, nurturing, and abundance. And I think this ties in pretty well with what we were talking about today. Just in the whole nurturing and
The Empress is such a pretty card too.
Yeah, I love this artwork.
So pretty. I like her and the High Priestess. They're always like
And this was illustrated by Holly Sierra.
Nice.
Because it's a collaborative deck, so they're all illustrated by different people.
I love that. That's so cool. I have always wanted to make an SBU Coven deck and have, like, different artists, like, make our pieces for us. But yeah. Anyone interested in that, I can't afford to pay you, but if you're interested, let me know.
Okay, so... this is your second episodic reminder to rate, review, and subscribe, and comment. Rating and subscribing are the most important. They tell the algorithm that you like us, and that they will then recommend us to other people. Reviewing and commenting are really nice. Commenting does help in the algorithm, too. We lost all the reviews when we switched podcast hosts, and we miss them, and we would like them back, and we appreciate the energy exchange. Likes help with the algorithm, as do dislikes. Watch time, the whole nine yards.
Smash that like button.
Consensually.
Well, is that our show?
That's our show.
We did it.
We did it.
Well, I love you, and I'll talk to you soon.
Love you, too.
Blessed be.
Blessed be. Ah, hold on. Wait.